9 out of 10 roofing contractors go out of business, and most of them don't even realize it until it's too late.
Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Roofer Show. I see this all the time. Guys are busy, work is coming in, crews are going, but the money just isn't there. So in this episode, I'm sharing a breakdown from Michael Stone, who's been teaching contractors this stuff for decades, on why that happens and where contractors can get it wrong when it comes to pricing and profit. If you don't understand your numbers, none of the marketing or leads matter. Let's get into it. Quick shout out to ProLine. If you're losing track of your leads, not following up consistently, or just don't know your numbers, that's exactly why most roofing companies stay busy, but they just don't make any money. ProLine is the CRM built for roofers to help you track every lead, follow up automatically, and actually see what's working. If you want a system that helps you sell more jobs and stay organized, check out ProLine. The link's down in the show notes below.
The first year, 30-some percent of the contractors fail. By the end of the third year, over 75% of all contractors that start in year one, by the end of the third year, they're gone. They're out of business. And all the way out to a 10-year cycle, that 9 out of 10 contractors will fail. And that's one of the main reasons right there. They don't charge enough for the work they're doing.
Period. That's it. What I see is, of course, they feel they have to be competitive or they're not going to sell any work. And they generally say, the market is $500 a square, whatever. And that's what I'm going to charge. Boom.
God forbid. Well,
what the hell does that have to do with anything? Talk to us about what the problem of doing that, which is probably, I think, the majority of contractors just throw out a number per square because that's where the market is.
Yeah. The market being other contractors as a group. Mm-hmm. The home or building owner calls 6 contractors, he's going to get a price per square, which is okay as long as the contractor has taken the time to sit down and figure out exactly what it costs to get that square of roofing on the roof, what his overhead is, what a reasonable profit is, combine it all over some period of time, divide it by the number of squares installed, then come up with your per square price. Most of them will never do that. Doesn't happen. They say, these guys, this guy, and this guy are all charging $450, $475 a square. I better be right there at $445, so I'm under everybody. I'm going to be competitive. I'll get the job.
And then you're going to become one of those 9 out of 10 guys.
That's right.
You're going to be out of business. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while, and most guys don't realize the fact that they are going out of business, slowly but surely.
Yeah, the slides I'll show you today, we can show them how to spot those things. Okay, reasons construction companies fail. There's 3 major and 3 minor reasons. Number one is not charging enough for the work or service provided. And second one is failure to use or improper use of change work orders. The third reason is failure to use or improper use of contracts. That's the 1, 2, and 3 reasons construction companies fail, followed by too many employees for the work being produced. Number 5 would be improper payment schedules on their contract. And 6, lack of profitable sales, which is different than any one of the rest of the above. Those are the 6 main reasons construction companies go out of business. This is reduced from my studies of why construction companies leave this business, which I started doing back in 1969. High rate of failure in construction is the result of contractors trying to be competitive, or you're out of here, okay? You can be competitive all day long. Knock yourself out. Whatever you want to do, but you must be profitable at the same time, because if you don't, you're gone. For those of you that are watching and listening, here's some warning signs. There's 8 of them here. The further down this list you go, the deeper in trouble you are. Number 1 is the owner or spouse working on jobs for no pay, physically working on jobs and not paying themselves for that work, either hourly or by salary. In other words, that would come under your cost of goods sold section on your P&L. Number 2 reason, owner or spouse not taking a regular salary, the salary being what you get paid for owning and running your business. This is an overhead expense. This is not a cost of goods sold. This is an overhead expense.
That's the point. And that's what we're talking about, is having the correct numbers, this whole concept. Because if we don't have our numbers in the right place, our chart of accounts set up correctly, we're not going to be marking up our job correctly. We think we are, but we're using the wrong markup, so we don't know what's going on.
Nope, you're right dead on. That's exactly right. Here's another one, especially new guys just getting started. Oh, I got to cut my price so I get the job. No, you don't, because all you're doing is digging a hole. When you're in construction, the last thing you want to do is dig yourself a financial hole. Cutting the sales price to get the job, that's a warning sign to you. If you're doing that, it's not going to lead to good things.
You got to be able to walk away from a lot of these things, and this is where contractors have a hard time, because they don't want to walk away from a potential deal. And two is that this is why we have to differentiate our business, how we are better. We have to be able to show that how we're worth a higher value. And you have to go get that margin. Stop dropping your goddamn price.
All right. Setting your profit percentage for your business. Now, David has mentioned several times that he figures that net profit should be 10%. And I agree with that. 8% is absolute rock bottom minimum. If you drop below 8%, you are going to start having cash flow problems probably sooner than later. I've never had a coaching client yet, and I've got something in the neighborhood of 600 companies that we've helped over the years. I've never had a single company that was making 8% plus that was having cash flow problems, not one. But I've seen plenty of them that were below 8%. That maybe they didn't have cash flow problems every month or every other month, but sooner or later during a period of a year, they're going to start having cash flow problems because somebody isn't going to pay, somebody got sick, somebody had a car wreck, something happened, and you went 6, 8, 10 weeks before you got paid from your last customer or the next customer. And if you're not making 8%, it's going to bite you.
And let's simplify. We've got the sales, okay? You sell a job, it costs us X to do the job, okay? These are our job costs. Now, we've got a gross profit. The gross profit is going to pay for our expenses and our net profit. So we've got our gross profit, and I think you're going to get into the numbers here in a little while. We've got our gross profit. Now we have to pay for the rent. We got to pay for the gasoline. We got to pay for all of these expenses that can't be charged to a particular job. So overhead. In that overhead has to be owner's salary. Okay, that's part of overhead. Now we've paid the bills for the materials and so forth to do the job. We've paid our bills, our monthly bills, our truck payments, whatever. We've paid our salaries. We paid the office salaries. After all of that, what's left over is the net profit is what we're going to reinvest in the business, what we're going to be able to use to hire the best people to do the work. We're going to be able to hire the best marketing companies that are going to get us more leads and build our business now that we have net profit. And we've got to have profit. And increasing your sales is not going to give you more profit. If you're not charging enough money, more sales is just going to put you out of business faster. And the more sales you've got, the more cash flow problems you're going to have because you may not get paid for 30 days, 60 days. Just as many contractors go out of business from growing too fast because they're not able to keep up on all these things. And they find that they're not making a profit because they're dropping their prices to get the big jobs. This is what always happens. You got the carrot out there. Oh, here's this big job. I'm going to give you this big job, but you're going to need to drop your price to do it. That's how this whole thing gets started. That's where you see a lot of these large companies go out of business.
Yep. It's interesting, David. If you take a group of companies, 2 million and less, 2 to 5 million, 5 to 10 million, you take those things and you think, oh, well, they're at $10 million. They won't fail. Baloney, they won't. Those companies, if you take those three sections, the percentage of failures will be the same in all three of them. If you get 6 out of 10 fail in the first group, you're going to have 6 out of 10 fail in the second group, 6 out of 10 fail in the third group. It doesn't make any difference how big you are. If you're not running your business profitably, you're gone. Bottom line, you're gone. Out of here. Okay.
And you can continue to do this. As I say, it takes time to actually drain this down, dig your deep hole before you actually have to throw in the towel. And what that looks like is I can't pay my guys. They're gone. I can't pay my suppliers. They're only going to go so far and then they cut you off. And now you're screwed. You can't do the work. You've got all this money out in receivables. You can't collect. That's how it happens. You just run out of cash and it's game over.
Yep. That's exactly right. You want to talk about markup and margins?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely. Are you telling me there's a difference between markup and margin?
Yeah.
I thought it was the same thing.
Ah.
Is what I hear so often.
All right. Let's run through these slides and then out the other end, you'll see the difference here.
Quick mention for SMA support. If you're missing calls, not following up fast enough, or your office feels chaotic,
That's where deals are slipping through the cracks. SMA helps roofing contractors handle calls, follow-ups, and inside sales so nothing gets missed and more jobs get closed. If you want to clean things up, stop losing opportunities, check out SMA Support. The link's down on the show notes below.
Now, we got to assume your overhead and profit numbers are correct. And that's a stretch for a lot of companies because their overhead and profit numbers are not correct. Right. And that's due to the CPA or bookkeeper not knowing and understanding construction. And one of the big mistakes that CPAs make is they don't want to think. They just want to run the numbers out and get done with it. So they put you in the same box as a grocery store, a library, an attorney, or the clothing store. They try to jam everybody under the same umbrella and do the bookkeeping the same for every one of them. You can't do that in construction. Construction is unique. You have your own system of setting up a P&L. And if you don't follow that thing, you're never going to get accurate numbers. You'll never come up with an accurate markup. Okay. All right.
And when you say, assuming your overhead and profit is correct, I've never seen a company that has had that dialed in.
I mentioned earlier that one of the ways to check a CPA is ask them, where does my salary go on a P&L? So assuming your overhead and profit numbers are right, your total sales divided by job cost equals your markup, or markup times job cost equals sales price. Either way, it's exactly the same thing. And markup are always calculated using job costs. Now, let me give you an example here. Suppose you're a small roofing company and you do an estimate and you figured out your labor is $95.60 on the job. You got materials, $10,089. Other costs, whatever they may be, porta potties, whatever it is. Maybe you have to rent a forklift or something, whatever it is. Total of $21,209. Let's assume a markup of 1.5. Now, some guys are using a 1.10 or 1.15 and thinking that's a god awful much. It's not. The smart companies are all, a minimum markup for roofing should be at least 1.35. I'm going to assume at 1.50. And I think, David, you teach that their markup should be 1.67 or a 40% gross margin. And we'll come to that here. Yeah, we'll come to that. So markup times job cost equals sales price. So you take your markup at 1.5 times your job cost, which is the $21,209, and you get a sales price of $31,814. That's the simple and quick way to calculate a markup. Now, where does that 1.5 come from? Okay, you'll notice here we have a company that has certain numbers already that you go back over, and your markup should come from about a minimum of 6 months, but preferably a year's worth of jobs and calculations. So you do $500,000 in the last 12 months. Your overhead is 25.33% or $126,650. Your profit should be at 8% minimum for $40,000. So you take your dollars sold, built, and collected at $500,000. You calculate the overhead expense for the year at $126,650. Your net profit at 8% at $40,000. You subtract lines 2 and 3 from line 1. In other words, you should subtract $126,650 and $40,000, which is $146,650 from $500,000. You have a balance of $333,350. That is your job cost. So you take your volume divided by your job cost, you get a markup of 1.4999 or 1.50.
Now, let me just jump in here real quick, if I could, about why we started off with the P&L, our chart of accounts. If we don't have those correct, we're not marking our job up enough to cover our costs. The definition of a job cost is, if I didn't have that job, I wouldn't have that cost. So you get the Smith job. If I didn't have that Smith job, I wouldn't have the permit. I wouldn't have the materials and labor to do that job. So all of those costs need to be set up in job costs. That's what you're marking up. If you don't have all those in your job costs and some of these slip down into expense, you're not marking up your jobs. You may say, I can't get any more money.
How do you know? One of the ways, here's an easy formula I'll give you that shows you how to set up your P&L. And anybody can follow this. And if you follow it, you'll always have the right numbers on your P&L so that you can calculate your markup or your gross margin. Any expense that can be charged to one job and one job only should go under cost of goods sold. Any expense that you have that can be charged to two jobs or more should be under expenses below the line. If you follow that rule, your P&L will always be perfect. You'll never have to worry about it. It's that simple, and don't make it complicated. Okay, right. Let's go back to that.
Gasoline, these kind of things, these are expenses. You can't charge it to a particular job.
Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. So let's go back to what's the right markup for your company. You'll see here on specialty trades, your minimum markup needs to be 1.35. Now, David recommends 1.67. Okay. That's not high.
I like to run profitable businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Maximum. And I've seen electricians, I've seen plumbers and drywall and roofing contractors. I've seen cement masons, all of them use markups anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 times their cost and get it all day long. The guys say, oh, I can't charge that. How in the hell do you know?
Give me
a break here.
Oh. And get some sales skills so you know how to sell it.
That's right.
The value for the customer and what you need to charge to make a profit. If you're not charging enough money, you're guaranteed to go out of business eventually. It's just such a simple concept. And it has nothing to do with what your competitors are charging. Get rid of all the damn boats that you got in there and the ski-doos and all the crap there that you're spending money on running lean operation, and you won't need as high of a markup. Then maybe you can be competitive with your competitors, but you've got to charge the right price.
Yep.
Period.
Yep. No argument on that one. Okay, let me throw out one more number here. Remember we mentioned earlier that a high percentage of construction companies fail? The average roofing contractor around the U.S., based on my studies, and I've been doing this since 1969, average roofing company uses a markup of 1.2 times their cost. That's 15 points under what their minimum should be. And they wonder why they go broke.
If you can explain the idea that when you say a markup of 1.2, that's not a 20% gross profit. That's not what it's going to give you. This is why you have to understand the concept of the difference between markup and margin. This, I think, and you probably agree with me, Michael, is just the biggest misunderstanding was that, oh, I'm going to mark it up 1.2 and I'm going to have a 20% gross profit, whatever.
Nope. Actually, a 1.2 markup gives you a gross margin of a little over 16.5%.
Right.
Now, Dave has been recommending 40%. Now, see the difference? Almost 24% difference. Okay.
That's the cost of doing business. And another thing, there's always somebody in every market that charges a lot of money. It's always above everybody else.
Always the busiest company in town. Every one of them.
How do they do it? They've made profit that they've been able to invest in their branding, in the best people, in sales skills, all of these things. And that's the difference. Go compete with those guys. Those are the guys that are making money.
Yep. Let's take a look at one more mistake that a lot of contractors make. What they do is they set their markup and such, and as the jobs get larger, they try to reduce their markup.
Right.
Doesn't work. Okay, doesn't work. What you do is you set your markup based on a large job, as it shows on the screen here. Say you have a markup set at 1.5 on your cost of $150,000 or larger. As the jobs get smaller, you raise your markup, not lower it. Just the opposite of what most contractors try to do. As an example, if you're using a 1.5 markup on a $150,000 job, you use a 1.65 markup on jobs ranging from $50,000 to $75,000 and times two on jobs under $10,000. Okay? Mm-hmm. It costs you just as much to crank up and get going a $10,000 job as it does a $75,000 job. Exact same amount of money. Okay? So you've got to, and so don't ever fall into the trap of thinking the job was quite a bit larger. I was able to cut my markup because my overhead isn't as high. That is bullshit from day, that is just BS from day one. Okay. That is not true. Okay.
Focus on those. You go for the fences every time on these big jobs. You're not going to make any money because you just drop, these guys drop their drawers.
Yeah. Real quick. Okay. Let's keep going to margins. Your gross profit divided by total sales is gross margin. Gross margin is the same as overhead and profit. What it is. Margins are always applied to sales price, not to job cost, but to sales price. Now, how do you calculate?
Margins are always a percentage.
Yep. Now you take your dollar volume sold, built, and collected, okay, and you add up your overhead and your net profit, which is $166,650. That's your gross profit. Divided by your volume of 500,000 gives you a gross margin of 33.33%. Now, how do we use that number to get to our sales price? All right, we take our gross margin, your estimated cost on a job, just like it was on the first one we looked at on the markup problem, 21,209. Now, to compute your sales price using those job costs, you take the 21,209 and divide that by the complement of your gross margin, which is 1 minus your gross margin, or that's 1 minus 0.3333 equals 0.6667. So you divide your job cost, 21,209, by 0.6667. Okay. So that's the difference. Now, which one do we recommend? Markup. Why? Because as you can see here on the markup, we did one slide on gross margin. It took us two slides and a bunch of division in the middle of it to get to the sales price for our work. It's too easy to make a mathematical mistake. Only about 4% of all contractors use gross margin to calculate the sales price for their work. And the reason is more work. Okay. So this is what we would want to do. Now, what should your gross margin be? David, you recommend at 40%. Okay. I would tell most specialty contractors they need to be in 26 to 34%. You say 40%, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is most roofing contractors average about 16% gross margin.
That's amazing.
Okay. And that's why they go out of business right there. Okay. You're 34% under what you recommend. Okay. 24%. I'm sorry. 24%.
And on $1 million in business, that is 240,000. 240 grand that you're leaving on the table that you're not charging what you should.
Yeah.
You can. This is where you want to be. Otherwise, what the hell are you doing? This business is so tough and risky. Okay. Construction, you can lose everything. And these guys have their houses pledged to their lawyers and so forth. You are in deep shit. Okay. You got to make a profit. And otherwise, go work for somebody else. Go sell roofs because you can make a lot of money doing that. You don't have to have all this stress.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to profit and loss statements. Okay. Profit and loss statements are a must. Right.
And okay, you've got to have a monthly financial statement. You just don't wait till the end of the year to see if your CA tells you if you made any money or not.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Get out of the business.
That's the other thing I was going to say. If your CPA, remember I mentioned earlier that I couldn't figure out what the question I had of CPAs. If they are not asking you tough questions about why you did this, why you did that, and giving you advice on your business, get rid of them. Okay. See, if you don't ask them questions or ask their advice on stuff, that's money in their pocket because they don't have to think, they don't have to help you advise, they don't have to study your business. Make them earn the money you pay them. Make them tell you what they should be doing. Okay. That's what I mentioned earlier about CPAs, and most of them won't.
So what that means, the P&L you're using to for the direction of your business to help you look through the windshield, not getting these things 6 months later, or annual financial statement, and that's for reflection. That's looking through the rearview mirror. Yep. It's already over. It's happened. We're talking about running a business by the numbers so we can plan and look ahead to the future, not looking through the rearview mirror saying, oh, this is what happened. Oh, whoops. So I lost this much money. Oh, you know, what the hell's going on? You want to know every month where you are, a financial statement, and you need to move forward. If you don't have that, again, get out of the business. And also we find out, hey, by the way, we're getting embezzled here. I can see that in 5 minutes. Okay. Now, you wait till the end of the year and say, your CPA says, hey, what happened to this 500 grand? Oh, whoops. It's sitting there in South America with your ex-bookkeeper. All the time it happens.
Your P&L should be broken down into five parts. Okay. Now, your P&L should be based on roofing contractors, remodeling contractors, new home construction contractors, should be based on percent of job completion. If you are a special building contractor, spec building contractor, you have your P&L set up based on completed contract. And you should not be on an accrual basis or cash basis. You should be on percent of job completion. That will give you the most accurate P&L. Now, on your P&L, your expenses should have a percent of total sales down the right-hand side. So you can see it's much easier to work with and remember percentages than it is to try to remember dollars. So turn on your expense, your percent of sales, and put it down the right-hand side of your P&L.
That's very important because what we're talking about is being able to look at a financial statement in minutes and exactly know and be able to tell what you're looking at, where the problems are, where things are out of whack. And you do that by having the percentages. You can see, okay, percentage of material. You should know that number. But also your gross profit percentage. Now, one of the first questions I ask if I'm going to take on a new client is, okay, let's look at these key KPIs, the key performance indicators, and I want to know what they are. I want to know your gross profit margin. That's the big one, because that's the thing that we track every day. And if you don't know your gross profit percentage, your margin, you're in trouble.
Yep. Okay. When you look at the last page of your P&L, bottom line, right-hand number, that number tells you how good you are at making business decisions. And there's no BS or hoorah there. That number I mentioned earlier, it should be a minimum 8%. David recommends 10%. You're doing that, you're doing a good job. If it's less than that, then as that number goes down, your bad decisions go up. That's what it boils down to.
Now, let me qualify what you said, okay? That only applies if you've already taken your salary, okay? You've taken your owner's compensation. That's not in your gross, in your net profit. I see this all the time.
Yep.
Where's your salary? Oh, I'm going to take it out of this 6% that we've got in net profit. You don't have a net. This is a poorly run company. That's a total of 6% as a total of 10% plus 10%, 20%, which is why you're doing this. You're providing a good lifestyle for your family with that 10% salary. And with that 10% net profit, you're building a strong, financially solid business. You're reinvesting that. You're not taking that money out to go buy the damn boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Couple of notes on your P&L. Your salary and your profits are not the same. That's what we were just talking about. Your wages that you get paid for owning and running the company are posted under, I'm sorry, the wages would you get paid for working on jobs. And that includes for the owners delivering materials to the job site. If that time is not on the estimate sheet, you shouldn't be doing that. Okay. So wages are when you're working on jobs, delivering materials to the job, getting up on the roof, doing whatever it is, hauling stuff to the dump, you should be paid for that. Otherwise, you're working for free. Your salary, which you get paid for owning or running the company, is posted under expenses, which is below the line. And we're going to cover that here in just a minute. Okay. And then your profit is posted under net profits, which is the last line on your P&L. And you look at the number on the right-hand corner down there, and that tells you how good your business decisions are. Now, each must be posted so that you can calculate an accurate markup or gross margin for your company. Now, let's take a quick look at a P&L, and it's going to be quick. Okay. This is one from a company that I've coached several years ago. First thing on a profit and loss statement is you have a mythical thing, hypothetical, whatever you want to call it. It's called the line. And that separates your job expenses from your overhead expenses. You can see where I've got it on the screen here. It falls right under gross profit. Now, your income minus your cost of goods sold equals your gross profit, just like we got it on the screen. Now, you'll notice one of the things you need to do is you need to find out what your total cost of goods sold percentage is. Okay. Now, I don't know, David, do you have a particular number on that? I would tell for roofers, it would be between 62 and 66%.
So that would be, if you've got a 10%, if you've got a $10,000 job and you want to make $4,000 or $40,000, which would be 40% gross profit, you're going to have $6,000 to do the job. In that case, your direct costs. Does that answer the question?
That's pretty close. Yes, it's somewhere right in there. The reason we tell you that, if you look at your gross profit and that's 78%, that charge tells you two things. Either you're not charging enough for the work you're doing, or your guys are not getting the jobs done as quickly as they should. And that's a warning flag for you. Pay attention, because it's not good. Okay. All right. Now let's take a look. Under expenses, which is below the line, one of the things another mistake a lot of contractors make is they try to pile all this stuff on their P&L. I've seen P&Ls 18, 20 pages long. 1.5, 2 pages is all you need for making good business decisions for your company. So you take all this stuff that says advertising, marketing, they listed all this stuff for advertising, marketing. Get rid of all that. Advertising, marketing, good enough. One line. Going on down.
And that should be roughly 5%. Of sales is what we look at for marketing costs.
Yeah, 2 to 5 is about right now.
And it could be higher. If you're growing fast, you're going to want to be above 5%, maybe 8, maybe 10% of sales.
Okay. Going on down where you see car and truck expenses there, gas and oil repairs and maintenance, parking, you don't need all those lines. All you need is one line. If you want to see that kind of detail, leave it on your computer and go back in there and dig through all the stuff on your computer. When you get a printout, a page just like this, and all this stuff is listed on it, just like we're seeing on the screen here, keep it 1.5 to 2 pages max. Okay.
Yep.
Now, one of the things that we mentioned earlier is that your salary should be listed. And you see here on the top of this page, officer's wages, that's under expenses, right where it should be. Going on down expenses, you can see a bunch of stuff down here. If you're paying rent, take a hard look at that. If you've been in business more than 5 years, you ought to be taking, if you're doing well, you should be looking at buying a building rather than paying rent receipts. Because all the rent receipts do is keep the dust off the bottom of the drawer they're in.
Yeah. Buy a building.
Yeah. Okay. That's an expenses coming out of your profits. Okay. Going on down here, see where it says total expenses running 24.8%. You got to figure out what your expenses should be and always watch and make sure that it goes down, not up.
Right.
And last page on your P&L. Okay. Notice your net income, last page, bottom line, right-hand number. In this particular case, it's 3%. It should be no less than 8%, and David recommends 10%. One more thing on P&Ls. If you have a category on your P&L that's labeled miscellaneous or other or uncategorized expense, it should never be over $100. Why? Because if you take the P&L to your banker to get yourself a loan for whatever reason, and he looks down there and he says, other, oh, we got $2,300 under other uncategorized expense. We got $5,500 under that. They think that is sloppy bookkeeping. And if they say they see sloppy bookkeeping on your P&L, they're going to wonder what else you're being sloppy about, which means you probably won't be able to pay the loan back. So they'll just they'll take their stamp and hit no on it. You won't get the loan. That's why these little things like this is what your P&L, your CPA, and your bookkeeper probably don't know or won't even bother to tell you. But that's something you need to watch on your P&Ls.
So that's a reality. This is exactly what I see every day working with roofing contractors. They're busy. They've got work coming in, but they're not making the money they should be. And most of the time, it comes down to not understanding their numbers. If you're not clear on your pricing, your profit, or where things might be off in your business, that's exactly what I help contractors fix. I've got a few spots open right now for a roofing business review. We'll take a look at your numbers, your pricing, and where you might be leaking profit, and I'll give you a clear idea of what I'd fix first. If you want to grab one of those spots, the link's in the description. Otherwise, take this and run with it, but don't ignore it. This is the stuff that will make or break your business. Also, I'll link Michael's stuff below. Definitely worth checking out.